Hello, this is Jason Green. You're listening to Brooklyn College Radio on BCR 1090 AM, streaming live on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org, home of the women's and men's Brooklyn College Bridges.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein!
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here at Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And, of course, podcasting at speakgeekspeak.com. This is episode 19 of the Geek Speak podcast, one away from the big 2-0. And I'm back in the studios this week after that one recording that sounded like I was recording from my bathroom. I am back here at Brooklyn College with the full support of their studios. So yay, woohoo, I actually have good sound again. And we got a great show planned for you on today's episode. And I got a lot of submissions from listeners on today's show, two of which from my buddy David Price, who I met over at the Comic Geek Speak gathering for episode 100 of the Comic Geek Speak podcast, which happened this past Sunday. And that was a whole bunch of fun. Golden Needle Comics is quite possibly one of the best comic places I have ever been to in my life. It is ginormous. It is much bigger than any other place around the New York area. And it's barely in the New York area. It's in Pennsylvania. But this is a place that I would go to whenever, ever I am in the neighborhood. So if I'm ever around Pennsylvania again, I'll be heading into Golden Eagle. Lem, their owner, is a very, very nice guy. And they had a wonderful show there where I got to meet a lot of my buddies from the Comic Geek Speak forums. And David Price is one of them. And he submitted two stories to me, which I'm going to be covering on today's show, one of which a gigantic flaw in Symantec, which was just plugged, and it was caused by a hidden directory. I wonder where I've heard this before. Sony, anyone? Also on today's show, we will be getting into a fan project that has been sweeping the internet as of late with a lot of great announcements towards it. And this is actually a Star Trek fan series known as Star Trek New Voyages. I got a chance to watch their first two episodes, and I will be reviewing them on today's program. Also, the second piece of information that David supplied me with, there's going to be a member of the cast of Spider-Man 3 that all you comic geeks are going to be freaking out about, and I'm curious to see how she's going to work herself into the Spider-Man movie mythos, and it's going to be pretty tough, so I'm going to have to get into that on today's show, and a whole bunch of other stuff for you as well, but I am going to start things off with that Symantec flaw that I mentioned, and here's the original email as sent to me by David Price this past week. Here we go right now. Ian came across this in my email today. He found the link over at techrepublic.com. I don't think I've used a Symantec product for my home machines in years, but if any listeners can use this info, I hope it'll help. Take care, David. And David, thank you very much for the information. And basically, here's what it has to say over at techrepublic.com. Symantec plugs vulnerability caused by its hidden directory. Sony is apparently not the only company with the penchant for hiding files on users' computers. Security vendor Symantec recently fessed up to similar practices. While its intentions were good, the hidden directory could make the perfect hiding place for a hacker's malicious files. Mwahahaha. In this edition of The IT Locksmith, John McCormick has the details on this threat, and he tells you what the FBI's recent computer crime survey revealed. And John McCormick gets into the entire details of this. Basically, what I'm going to sum it down for here is Symantec had a directory which was helping itself out, basically for its updates, that'll display a previously hidden NProtect directory. The NProtect directory was used to basically place files in, so your virus scanner would be able to know what is a good file and what is a bad file. And this is an incredibly archaic method of doing this as well. Most virus scanners have some sort of failsafe or some sort of file folder, that is, that you're able to see and not be hidden on your computer. But Symantec decided that they'd rather hide this. Why? I'm not quite sure. The FBI didn't like it too much either. Although the FBI probably wasn't thinking about Sony and Symantec when it began the study, its recently released 2005 FBI Computer Crime Survey indicates that computer crime costs have reached $67 billion a year. And that doesn't include the cost of security measures to thwart attacks. And don't blame Eastern Europe or third world countries for hosting these hackers. The United States and China combined to lead the world as the source of half of all of their attacks. Oy vey. Symantec, you're not helping things at all with this directory. Now, again, Sony was the main villain who was hiding a rootkit on your computers. And that's basically what this is. This is a rootkit. This is yet another rootkit found in a regular software. And this software is supposed to protect your computer. So how is it protecting you by keeping something hidden on your computer? How? That's what I'm wondering. And recently, along with this Symantec reveal, something was just revealed about Zone Alarm. And I use Zone Alarm. So this is a bit of a, I guess the best way to put it is boo-boo on their parts. Zone Alarm, and I'll read this for you now, from Infoworld.com. Zone Alarm phones home. Apple throws Intel a bone. Well, see, that's a different story right there. But basically, Zone Alarm was found to phone home on every single thing that is coming in to your computer. Zone Alarm likes to protect people. Zone Alarm likes to think it protects people. But when its phone's home, your security is not safe. Everything you're doing is being phoned home on a Zone Alarm security suite. Now, luckily, the Zone Alarm that I have is just their firewall, so I'm hoping that this does not apply to that. Zone Alarm says that there's no truth to the rumor that the NSA used Zone Alarm to spy on U.S. citizens. I hope that's the case, because if they were supplying this information to the U.S., it can't be used as evidence. It certainly can't, because this is secret evidence, and you got to let it known ahead of time. And right now, Zone Alarm is really pissing me off. But Symantec is much more of a culprit here. And looking at this more and more, rootkits are basically killing credibility for everybody on the internet. If you use a rootkit, you're damned. You're absolutely damned. In my eyes and in the eyes of most of the internet, this is the case. I mean, rootkits are malicious. Even if they have the best intentions, even if Sony wanted to use them for protection of their own software and files, even if Symantec wanted to use it in order to better use their own system, it doesn't work. Okay, all it does is open up your computer to further attacks. And what do I say to this? I say no way. I say anybody out there who's still using Symantec and, oh, what's this? I do believe, let me actually look at this right here. Okay, no, we're using Sophos here. That's a plus. See, I thought for a second there that we were using Symantec here at the studios as well, and I have to really look out, but no, they are using Sophos here, so I can breathe a sigh of relief. But anybody out there who is still using a Symantec product, there's so much better stuff out there. There really is. I mean, get yourself AVG, or get yourself Antivir, or get yourself one of the free solutions for virus protection, because most of them are going to be so much better than Symantec. F-Secure, discovering the flaw, thank you. Thank you very much for discovering this. Now Symantec has to go and fix this, and they already have. They patched this up, but it leads me to think, what other softwares are out there that are supposed to be protecting your computer that are, in reality, messing it up further? I mean, if a firewall can do it, and if a secure suite can do it, and if a virus scan can do it, anything can do it. Nothing is safe on the internet. No matter how safe you think you are, no matter how secure you think you are, there's always going to be something that's questionable. Everything pops up. There's one new thing a week That worries me on the internet. I'd really love to say that's not the case, but it is. Just keep yourself updated, guys. Honestly, if you're tech savvy, don't just sit back and relax and let your stuff do the work. Go out there, find better things, or make sure that what you currently have is still the best software out there. Because it's pretty obvious that Norton is not good, okay? Norton Protected Recycle Bin and its hidden and protect directory are not doing nearly as good a job as any other program would. And yet you guys might very well be using it. Okay, Norton might have came with your computer. Norton might have had a better deal, but it's not the best. Okay, so go out there and show the world that you're smart and that Norton has made the biggest mistake of its life. Symantec and Norton and everybody else out there, Zone Alarm, everybody else out there, learn to understand that the customer is what you should be looking out for, not your own ass. Quit covering yourself up and do what you're supposed to do, okay? Do what you're supposed to do. If you're a virus scanner, protect a computer. Don't make it, okay? Norton Protected Recycle Bin and its hidden and protect directory are not doing nearly as good a job as any other program would. And yet you guys might very well be using it. Okay, Norton might have came with your computer. Norton might have had a better deal, but it's not the best. Okay, so go out there and show the world that you're smart and that Norton has made the biggest mistake of its life. Symantec and Norton and everybody else out there, Zone Alarm, everybody else out there, learn to understand that the customer is what you should be looking out for, not your own ass. Quit covering yourself up and do what you're supposed to do, okay? Do what you're supposed to do. If you're a virus scanner, protect a computer. Don't make it more vulnerable. I know where you live. No, I don't. Got another email. It's been a very email-filled week for me here on GeekSpeak, and I'm really glad when people start sending me over their emails. And this first email here is from Sean Webb, and here is what he has to say. This is Sean Webb talking to you out from sunny Florida, and I love your podcast on iTunes. I would like to ask you if you would put episodes 1 through 11 up on iTunes, which are not currently on iTunes. And thank you very much for the email, Sean. See, I'm pretty limited right now with my feed. My current feed is in atom.xml, which I get through Blogger. And XML is pretty much of a foreign language to me. I need to first actually learn it. So for now, I'm using FeedBurner to shorten the process for me. And in that process, the XML feed usually only lets me have about maybe 5 to 6 podcasts listed on iTunes. It's just the way that particular feed works. Now, all of my podcasts, episode 1 through 19, this is currently episode 19, are available at speakgeekspeak.com. So even if you do not see a podcast listed on iTunes, just direct yourself over to the main page and you'll be able to download as many episodes as you want from that main page. I'm working on some solutions. I'm trying to look into a better XML feed so I can possibly list everything on there. But that's currently the case. And thank you very much for posting this, Sean, because I actually was not aware of this at first. And now that I have figured this out, with your help, I'm going to try and make my listeners happy and get out there and try and fix the problem. So thanks a lot for the email, Sean. And that's a nice little tidbit there. Now, the next thing that I'm going to talk about is Star Trek New Voyages. Now, this is a show that I found out about on the Comic Geek Speak forums recently. Actually, no, wait, my mistake. This is a show that I found out about on the Sliders forums over at sci-fi.com, their bulletin boards, as I used to be a Sliders fan. Actually, that was my first real fandom back in the day. Sliders was my show. I absolutely loved listening to it. Absolutely loved watching it. It was a great time. And every now and then I check in with their forums to see what's up. And this happened to be one of the things that was listed. Some of the writers for Sliders are actually going on board with Star Trek New Voyages. And actually, Lana Taylor of the Look at His Butt podcast and I Read Comics recommended this to me when we were at the Comic Geek Speak get-together for episode 100. And I had to look into it because this looked like a really interesting concept. And I'm glad I did, because Star Trek New Voyages is an interesting idea in itself. Now, what it is, Star Trek, the original series that aired back in the early days, back in the 60s, was a five-year mission that was cut down to 3 years because it was canceled early. So, two seasons worth of shows were never done, technically. And here, with Star Trek New Voyages, they are trying to complete that five-year mission. Pretty interesting. I mean, here's what the front page has to say over at StarTrekNewVoyages.com. Welcome to the new home of Star Trek New Voyages. They just got a new website. Website has undergone a complete refit and has been given many new features. We invite you to stop by and take a look around. You can keep up on the many new and exciting developments here at New Voyages by visiting our news section, blah, 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 blah. And the current episode up for download, and they do have a couple of ways you can download this episode, is technically episode 1, which is In Harm's Way. The pilot is Come What May. And I gotta tell you, the quality increased so much in between the pilot and episode 1 that it almost looks like it was done by completely different people. Really. So much better now with episode 1, In Harm's Way. I mean, obviously there's more budget behind it, there's better CGI, and the acting is much better, as well as the story. You can certainly see an enhancement. I mean, the pilot is a pilot for a reason. Actually, it's funny, too. In the way it's acted, Come What May is probably closer to the original Star Trek series because it's kind of hokey, but more realistic sci-fi can be found in Harm's Way. And they go with the original Star Trek universe, and obviously they're not going to get the same people to play it because, well, obviously William Shatner is on Boston Legal now and has gotten older over the years. So they have their own guy playing the man. In fact, here is a list of the cast and crew. James Cawley as Captain James T. Kirk. Jeff Quinn as Mr. Spock. John Kelly as McCoy. Charles Root as Mr. Scott, otherwise known as Scotty. Andy Bray as Chekhov. John Lim as Sulu. Julian Irons as Uhura. Lieutenant Uhura. Uhura, Uhura, Uhura. Ron Boyd as Vincent DeSalle, Shannon Giles as Christine Chappelle, and Katrina Kernodle as Janice Rand. And here are the special guest stars that are amazing guest stars for a show like this. And here we go. Here is the best one that I can list. Walter Koenig, the original Chekhov, playing Chekhov once again. And George Takei reprising his role as Lieutenant Sulu in one of the upcoming episodes. Also, Kurt Carley played Captain Christopher Pike. Mary Linda Rappel as Ambassador Raina Morgan. John Carrigan as Captain Karg. And Larry Nemechek as Asterion Captain. And a whole bunch of guest stars in this. And it's done right. It really is. I mean, this is out of all of the fan efforts that I've seen over the years. I mean, I've seen a Ghostbusters fan film, and I've seen a bunch of Batman fan films that have done pretty well. This is probably the closest to the original product out of any of the ones I've seen. Even the Star Trek, I mean, even the Star Wars ones. There are some really great Star Wars ones out there, but Star Trek New Voyages as a series is great. The one thing that I have against the series, though, is just how long it takes to produce the episodes. They're close to releasing the next episode, which is going to be the one with Chekhov, and that one is coming in the next couple of months. It's going to be released in spring. To Serve All My Days and The Vignettes are being released. The Vignettes are 10-minute shorts on each character. To Serve All My Days is actually episode 2. Both of those are coming out soon, so they should be out by the spring. But that's my one problem with it. It's hard to remember about a series when they don't come out regularly. I mean, I can understand why it takes so long with these. Just give us something in between. That's what The Vignettes were supposed to do, and those are taking a long time, too. They really are. So I love that second episode that I saw of New Voyages. The first one was kind of hokey. I do like what they have here. They have a good guy playing Kirk. Actually reminds me of William Shatner's style of acting a lot. The Spock is dead on, as is the McCoy, actually. He actually looks a lot like the original actor for McCoy. But give me something regular. You know, it's a fun thing to have on the side, but it's going to be very hard to follow it if they don't put out. And hopefully they will put out. I'm going to give this a, I guess, you know, I'll give it a 3 out of 5 for now. Because that first episode was kind of hokey, like I mentioned. That second episode definitely was much better. And who knows how the quality is going to improve. And with great writers, and even a producer in Gene Roddenberry Jr., Gene Roddenberry's son is a part of the production of Star Trek New Voyages. So you've got a great line of stock there. And hopefully you got a great show. I can't wait to see George Takei. I'm sure my impression of him sucks, but I can't wait to see George Takei back as Sulu, because Sulu rocks. Seriously, he's like one of my favorite characters on Star Trek, and I'm glad to see him back. And he's very enthusiastic about being back as well. I mean, he hasn't been able to play the character in about 10 years now. So being back as Sulu is a major plus for him. So take a new voyage. Give it a shot. All the episodes are available on Google Video right now. So over at video.google.com, you'll be able to find Star Trek New Voyages. Just do a search for Star Trek New Voyages and you'll find all of the episodes on there. And it's certainly worth checking out. And thank you to Lena Taylor of I Read Comics and the Look at His Butt podcast for helping me out with the pick. Ever since the 90s, regular television has been pretty much the same. Haven't really been any new networks popping up. Well, now two of the previously existing networks, the WB and the UPN, are joining together to become the CW, which obviously stands for the Crazy Wiggers. But anyway, here is the story out of thestar.com, and this broke this week. And I'm a bit shocked about it, honestly. The multi-channel universe will soon be less by one as 6 American broadcast networks become 5, with the CBS-run UPN and the Warner-owned WB both folding in the fall to be replaced by a co-owned amalgam of both, dubbed the CW. The surprise announcement was made jointly this week by CBS President Les Moonves and Warner Chairman Barry Meyer. According to Meyer, every key constituency of the network will now greatly benefit from this combination by being part of a highly rated, competitive fifth broadcast network that is financially sound. And both of these networks have been losing a lot of money over the years. I mean, their ratings haven't exactly been on the top of the world, other than a couple of shows here and there. Smallville does great. Everybody Hates Chris has been doing great for UPN. For a while there, the Star Trek shows were a cornerstone, but then they fell off the map. WB had Buffy, Dawson's Creek, Felicity, Seventh Heaven, but those are all gone now. Most of their good shows are gone now. I mean, you've got Veronica Mars on UPN, which is their pretty decent show. I mean, I'm not too big a fan of it, but I know that a lot of people are, so, you know, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt there. And there are a couple of other great shows, America's Top Model, dear God. But again, there's plenty of fans of that, so I can't really badmouth it, which is too bad. I hate reality television, I really do. And I guess as one network, this network will have more of a chance of actually profiting. Because the WB, I mean, it started out so great, you know? I mean, it started out as the upstart. You know, with that happy Michigan J frog running all over the place and spreading its joy and love throughout the country. Okay, maybe not. It looked like it could succeed. Then the UPN came around. And the UPN was, I mean, I guess with Voyager, they tried to, you know, get out there and get themselves a great product. But Star Trek Voyager didn't do nearly as good as they wanted it to. And that was their cornerstone. When they got Buffy, as time goes on there, I'm not sure whether they'll bring it back to Thursday. Well, they'll keep a Thursday lineup. But I think this might actually be a good idea, which is odd, because I really didn't think so at first. But as I thought about it, I really think this might be profitable for both companies. I mean, sure, the WB might have some different ideas than the UPN on how to run things. I mean, the WB is mostly aimed towards, and I know that this might be a bit cruel here, but the WB is mostly aimed towards a white audience and UPN's towards a black audience. That's sort of the way things went. I mean, I'm sure that'll change a bit. They're going to have to decide what direction they're going to go in. I mean, whether they're going to go with a white audience or a black audience. And integration is probably going to be the place to go for them to try and get as many programs as possible to please both sides of the fence. Because, well, ethnic diversity is usually what leads to ratings. If you segregate yourself and you only go for one audience, you're bound to fail. And I think that was the main problem with UPN and WB. They segregated themselves way too much and only went for one specific target audience. And hopefully this time they'll learn from their mistakes. UPN and WB will be off the air as of September, and the CW network will be starting up then. Now, with a network, you got to catch on fast. WB and UPN just didn't. They had a couple shows, but that's it. So hopefully, you know, with all the media behind this, everybody's talking about it now. Everybody I talk to is talking about the CW. I hate the name, though. You know, I mean, CW, I think of Bonnie and Clyde when I think of CW. I don't think of a network. I mean, I'm sure maybe as it rolls off the tongue a couple more times, I might think differently. But right now, you're going to have to sell me on that name a bit more. And also, what's going to happen to all those UPN networks? Because most of the Tribune-owned stations are going to be getting CW. Like here in New York, WB11 is now going to become CW11, which leaves Channel 9 in the dust. And that's technically owned by Fox, so I'm assuming that'll probably end up just becoming like a Fox subsidiary, airing some syndication and maybe a couple primetime shows. But just the fact is, you're leaving a lot of stations in the dark. What are you going to do with this network? I mean, are you going to enhance it? Are you going to improve things? Or are you going to downgrade and hope that people still watch? We'll just have to wait and see. It could be a good thing, could be a bad thing, could be both. For now, CW is looking pretty good, because you're going to have a couple of great shows on there for a while. But we don't know. We really don't. I mean, there's even a freaking Aquaman spinoff coming soon. At least it was coming from the WB. It's going to be coming from CW now. And how does a network succeed with Aquaman? That's what I'm wondering. The dude lives under the sea, okay? That's all he does. That's his powers. He talks to fish. And they're going to be going with a younger Aquaman. So I guess it'll be like young Aquaman, so he'll be in high school talking to fish. I don't know. I mean, and Smallville's not even much time left on that. Beauty and the Geek? Are you going to survive with Beauty and the Geek and Girlfriends and America's Top Model? I don't know. I really don't. But we'll give it a shot, I guess. for now. And if it doesn't do good, well, I guess there's always cable, because cable has saved so many networks in the past, and that might have to happen with Paramount and WB shows. And by the way, cable, save Firefly. Please, please, bring it back. Bring it back. I really want Firefly back. Why isn't Firefly back yet? Give me Firefly, please. Nintendo's back. Yeah, the announcement came out this week, actually came out very recently, actually today, that the Nintendo DS has become a bit sleeker. In fact, it looks a lot more like the Nintendo Revolution now. Gee, I wonder why. Yeah, Nintendo's getting ready. They are getting ready for the new console wars. And these console wars will be tough, and they are a tough battle indeed on all fronts, both portable and home console. They're getting ready for the Nintendo Revolution on the console. And now here's their nice new sleek Nintendo DS design. And guess what? The DS went light. Sort of like Crystal Light, too, because they spell it L-I-T-E, which, of course, is the proper way to spell light if you're a ad agency. Right. A page on Nintendo's Japanese website recently introduced a new design for the Nintendo DS, Nintendo's latest portable system, despite Nintendo recently calling the information a rumor. The new design is thinner, weighs less, has four levels of brightness control. Wow, four levels, ooh la la. As well as different and presumably more appropriate button placement. The new design looks similar to the design of the company's next-generation console, codenamed the Nintendo Revolution. The redesigned handheld also has the same glossy finish, and the visual aesthetic of the buttons could be compared to the Revolution's controller. And thank you very much, RevolutionReport.com, for the information. Yeah, looking at it right now, it basically is just like a Nintendo Revolution controller with two screens. Seriously, I mean, if you hold it the other way, it just looks a bit fatter than the Revolution does. And the button placement has changed a lot. I think this might be a good call as well, because now Start and Select are in a much better place. With a thinner console, you got to make some changes in the button placement every now and then, and this is what you had to do. Now, with the Nintendo DS, it's had plenty of great games. I mean, Mario Kart 64 DS definitely has put it on the map now, especially on the Wi-Fi side of things, because now you can play a good game through the Wi-Fi. Before this, you didn't really have too many things on the Wi-Fi system. And with the new MMORPG announced, you're going to have some new changes. This might be a good call. I mean, with the PlayStation, you sold so many more systems when you went sleek. You know, that new PlayStation 2 that is so slimlined that magically can't play all of its games now, but that's just the Japanese side of things, and that might be the case with the PlayStation 3, but, oh, well, I have some stuff to talk about the PlayStation 3 in a couple minutes. But sleek has always worked, and the DS has been pretty bulky. It really has. It continues to be bulky. Now it's just less bulky. And also, this looks like it could fit in your pocket much better. I mean, before, you were lucky to have some sort of bag to carry it around in. Now, you don't need one. It's sort of like a flipbook, actually. Although, out of all things, it reminds me of this Donkey Kong game I had when I was a kid. That was also a Nintendo game. You remember those really portable games that were sort of like the Tiger games that everybody used to carry around? This is what it reminds me of, with the alarm clock on it and the really crappy graphics. It looks incredibly similar to that now. Nintendo DS has gotten better over the years. PSP is eclipsing it now, though. So they got to save it somehow. This is a good way to do it. Will fans respond? That's what we got to wait and see. The Nintendo DS certainly has its pluses and negatives. Does have a few gimmicks out there, but so does the PSP. Making it slimmer can only help, because slim has always been cool. Now, talking about cool and not so cool, the PlayStation 3 certainly comes to mind, considering nobody really knows when this thing is coming out. I mean, the release date has not officially changed yet, but all we've seen is production art and tech demos, and we've never seen the PlayStation 3 console itself outside of a case yet. There's no demos. There's no playable demos. And the controller has been absent from the side of the PlayStation 3 as of late, which probably means they're redesigning that oddly shaped boomerang, which is a good thing, but it's going to take a while. It is. So the PlayStation 3 might be much more delayed than anybody would have thought. It is being pushed back. I will guarantee you that the PlayStation 3 is not coming out anywhere near when they said it was going to come out, because we should at least have some game demos by now for the PS3. Instead, we just keep seeing the same tech demos over and over again. Now, they could very well just be hiding things. They could very well just be surprising everybody. But it really doesn't look like that. It really looks like this is Sony trying to backtrack a bit. What are you going to do, PlayStation, when Nintendo Revolution's out, okay? And the Xbox 360 will be out for about 6 months by the time the Revolution's out. And then the PlayStation 3 comes out about a year and a half later. That'll be a trouble. It really will. It's hard to catch on when an entire group of people make up their mind. Because people who buy two systems aren't likely to buy three. So people who have bought a 360 and then buy a Revolution aren't going to spend $300 more on a PS3, especially with only launch titles out there. And the PS3, in general, is going to make Sony lose money. They're going to try and get their money back after a while. I don't know how long that's going to take. I don't know how beneficial that's going to be for Sony. I think they might be the lemon of the group now, which is hard to believe, because I'm still looking forward to the PlayStation 3 somehow. But I haven't seen anything. I mean, Xbox 360, care nothing about. Nintendo Revolution, I'm actually leaning towards the Nintendo Revolution right now, because I'm really interested in that new controller. And all of its tech demos have looked really good. But it's closer to coming out with actual games than the PlayStation 3 is. So Sony, give us something ironed out, please. Okay? You'll make everybody happier when you do. You'll make the entire world smile with glee. Or at least me. And I like smiling. So, Sony, make me smile. Please? As my buddy Brian starts talking in the background. So, another thing that I got from my buddy David Price was information on Spider-Man 3, which I hadn't actually found before. And it looks like there's going to be somebody from the Spider-Man comics past in Spider-Man 3. Hollywood Reporter is reporting that Ron Howard's daughter, Bryce Dallas Howard, quite possibly the worst name ever in the history of Hollywood, will be playing the role of Gwen Stacy in the web-spinning sequel. Columbia is keeping a tight lid on the third movie storyline, the trade reports, though it is known that Gwen is the third part of a love triangle and that the character does survive. It's a very interesting time to be bringing in Gwen Stacy to the movie, considering that he's already fallen for Mary Jane. I guess they need to complicate things a bit more, because Spider-Man can't live a straightforward life, or else things get boring after a while. But here's Gwen Stacy. Always was a dull character, unless she was outside of the Ultimate Universe. Ultimate Spider-Man made her an interesting character to me, because, well, she's introduced as, like, the rebel in Ultimate Spider-Man, which is the complete opposite of her old character. But it really, really works for that universe, and took away the single-mindedness of the character that was so prevalent back in the 60s. I mean, she was so one-dimensional back then, and this gave her a bit more life, but I really don't know how this is going to transfer over to the movies. But Gwen Stacy's been dead a long time now, mostly because she was just another blonde. You know, she happened to be scientific a bit, so she was a bit smarter than Mary Jane, but wasn't really much to her. And now they'll be bringing her into the movies. Good idea, bad idea, not so good idea, I don't know. But, man, it's really hard to decide on this. I like Mary Jane as a character, always have. Gwen Stacy's sort of the other for me. Because I got into Spider-Man comics, Mary Jane was around. That's it, except for that Gwen Stacy clone, but let's not even get into that. And I like Mary Jane, even if she is played by Kirsten Dunst, who can be a bit of a dunce sometimes. She's pretty good. I don't know who this Bryce Dallas Howard person is, other than she's Ron Howard's daughter. In fact, I'm going to look her up right now just to see if there's any pictures of her or anything, to see if she even looks the part. And Brian goes no, I go no. No, this is not, oh my God. This woman does not fit that at all. In fact, I'm going to put him on right now. Impromptu guest right now on Geek Speak as Brian gets himself ready. Yeah, he's going to put the headphones on, and I'll be joined for a little bit here by Brian. Brian, what's going on?
What's up?
So, all right. You're looking at this girl right now. Is she Gwen Stacy?
She looks like Mary Jane.
Exactly. Thank you.
She looks like Aunt May.
I mean, okay. She already looks like she's in her, like, 40s, okay? Which doesn't really help the part too much, but I don't know. Maybe this is the wrong woman? Maybe I'm thinking...
Ian.
What?
Gwen Stacy is blonde hair, blue-eyed, correct?
Yeah.
Isn't that the easiest part to cast in any Hollywood movie?
Yeah. And they seem to have miscast it. That's great. Well, I mean, Kirsten Dunst didn't have red hair, you know?
Well, redheads are hard to find.
True.
So.
I tried to hot like this image from another site. All I got in return was this text and a reminder that I'm a stupid bandwidth thief. Wow, really, really nice of you. Thanks a lot.
Well, I don't agree with your comments about Gwen Stacy. I think that she was just a romantic interest for Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they broke up.
Would you look at that? She looks like Mary Jane. She looks more like Mary Jane than Kirsten Dunst.
Like an uglier version of
Mary Jane. I know, yeah. But, all right, so you like Gwen Stacy?
Like, I like her because she went out with Spider-Man, correct?
Yeah.
They broke up, and they didn't break up, did they? Or they went out, basically.
Sort of kind of maybe broke up, yeah.
She was his girlfriend, and she was a great supporting character. She died. Yeah. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
He moved on with his life, but apparently some people haven't.
Some people haven't. I guess Hollywood hasn't.
I mean, it was a great story. She was a great supporting character.
Yeah.
They killed her off.
Yeah.
In a great story, well, and he moved on with his life.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, though. They already did the Gwen Stacy storyline, only they inserted Mary Jane and she survived, you know? I mean, are they going to have her randomly get shot by somebody or something like that? I don't know.
It's
really messed up.
She's going to be Carnage.
I guess. And I mean, like, actually, she reminds me of a couple different actresses in her look. She just does not remind me of anybody who would actually play Gwen Stacy. I'm sure she's going to dye her hair, just like Kirsten did. But
she has to.
Why can't they just switch roles? You know, like, I mean, she looks more like Mary Jane does, and Kirsten Dunst looked more like Gwen Stacy did when she first, you know, was blonde.
I was under the impression that both Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy are supposed to be good looking.
Yeah,
like smoking hot, and isn't that a running joke that Peter just lucked out on both occasions?
In fact, actually, she reminds me of a character from Firefly. In fact, I'd have to look into that because she reminds me a lot of this one character that was on Firefly in one episode. In fact, let me see. Let me look at her past stats here. And
she was in The Village.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's great. Yeah,
she was a blind chick.
Yeah, she played the blind girl in M. Night Shyamalan's The Village, which was quite possibly the most boring movie I've ever seen in my life. And obviously she'll be playing Gwen Stacy in Spider-Man. She's been in Lady in the Water, which is in post-production now, As You Like It, and Book of Love, and Apollo 13.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas also.
Yeah, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is wonderful. But
She'd been on The View.
Oh, well, la-di-da. La-di-da. That really makes a difference. But seriously, I mean, like, what is the point of even introducing Gwen Stacy at this point?
I don't know. I think they should take this chick and put her on Arrested Development or something. Or Scrubs.
Well, I mean, she would fit in on Arrested Development because she's related to Ron Howard. And everyone who's related to Ron Howard ends up on this at one
obviously.
Point. So, even his brother was at one point. They had Clint Howard on once. And they had Henry Winkler on, who's not related to him, but is a good friend of him. So why not just have her on that?
And Scott Baio.
I mean, yeah. Like, is she just getting the role because she's related to Ron Howard? Or
from what I saw in The Village, she has some chops. I mean, she could act.
Okay.
But I don't know.
All right. Oh, and also, while you're here, I was talking about this earlier. What do you think about the CW? The WB and UPN.
Oh, UPN and WB. Yeah. Well, yeah. There's SmackDown right after Smallville.
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's a good idea because both weren't exactly profitable. So now you got a chance of actually making money for the first time in like 12 years. So
Crisis on Infinite Networks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much. Earth 1 and Earth 2 are merging.
Which shows will live? Which shows will die?
Oh, man. Isn't it going to be great to see like Smallville followed by Veronica Mars? You know?
You know, that'd actually be pretty cool. You know, like everybody hates Chris and then... Oh, wait, they don't have any comedies in WWE.
Oh, wait. But the Aquaman, man, you know?
Oh, God.
Teen Aquaman, who's, you know, it's going to be just all about angst in a pool, you know?
Actually, I got a question. Will SmackDown be on this network, though? I don't know yet.
I don't know yet, but I have a feeling that it's probably going to stay on Fridays.
Because last I heard, they had a contract that was running out this year.
Yeah.
On UPN, so who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it could work, it could not, but I'm not entirely sure. You got any comics you read this week you want to talk about? No spoilers, obviously.
I picked up X-Men.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. Excited, well, though. Finally, good villain. And I picked up a Star Wars comic simply because George Lucas has me by the ball.
Really? Which is funny because Joss Whedon is my master now.
By my fortitude. Yes, I've seen that shirt. And yes. It's blasphemy.
And Joss Whedon is my master now. That's all I got to say. After watching Serenity for the second time, he is my master. That's it. You know, like I'm sorry, George Lucas, you were good while you lasted, but I don't need you anymore.
Oh, come on. Come on, Ian.
Oh, come on, man.
Go have relations with the goat.
Oh, wow. And all of a sudden, it's amazing. I add one guest to the show, and it's right away degrading into my other show, The Sporting Goods. It's fantastic. But anyway, just to mention this, I love Runaways, and I had to mention that on here just because I just read issue 12, and it gets better and better every single issue. And Brian K. Vaughan, although Why the Last Man I love, but there are a couple of people out there who have had some problems with it in the past couple of months. I think Brian K. Vaughan's best work is Runaways.
Funny thing, I was actually considering getting the Day of Vengeance trade. I heard that I was actually despite the fact that it's a tie-in.
That's Willingham.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. Yeah. He does Fables, right?
He's a
great writer.
Yeah.
Despite the fact it's a tie-in, I heard it's just a really great story. It's kind of self-contained. And I don't know. I mean, I heard it's the best out of all those miniseries. That and Villains United. Villains United was awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did read the special. The Day of Judgment special
was actually pretty good.
So I mean, I might pick it up at one point.
It's only $13. It's pretty cheap for a trade.
Well, sure, exactly. Yeah. And I guess a couple other things that I was talking about on today's show. Let me actually remember what it was. They just came out with the new DS Lite. And what do you think of this design here? Basically, it looks like the Nintendo Revolution controller, only like thinner. So basically, you know, they just like took the design of the Revolution controller and put it onto the DS, made it a couple pounds lighter.
Hate it or love it. You know, you got to love the fact that Nintendo knows how to make money off their consoles.
True.
They know how to make money off their
consoles. And they're the only ones who get creative, you know? Like with all this stuff, I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought of a two-screen system? That works.
It works a lot. I mean, I played at Best Buy, cheap plug, the Sonic game for DS. It's amazing. You could go from the top of one.
That's Sonic Riders, right?
Yeah. No, it's not the Sonic. It's like a...
Sonic Rush.
Old school Sonic.
Okay.
Old school Sonic.
Is it Rush or Riders? I always forget.
I don't know. It's Rush, I think.
Okay, Rush. All right.
Basically, it's they both the top and the bottom screen.
Yeah.
Screen, excuse me. It's gameplay. It's not just a map. You could play on the top and the bottom. It's pretty cool, actually. And it works, too, because, you know, you go on one loop, starts on the bottom screen. Loop ends up on top. It's great.
That works, man. That definitely works.
And
also, I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, I see that you're here at 6 o'clock on a regular basis. I'll be doing the show from 6 to 7. So whenever you want to stop by, you know, let me know.
Thank you.
So because it's good to get a fresh sound in here every now and then. So
you usually do this by yourself, huh?
Yeah. Usually I do this by myself, and I have a couple people on for a showcase spotlight every now and then. But if you want to
lonely.
But obviously, if you do want to stop in at any point, just let me know, and I'll introduce you, and you'll come on, and you'll say hi, and I'll say hi, and that'll work.
Well, my class ends at 6:10.
And my show starts at 6, so there you go.
Yeah.
It works perfectly.
Well, I heard you talking about the PSP and the DS.
Yeah. I mean, I was comparing the two. I'm just comparing this.
In my opinion, if you're not a hardcore gamer, if you're really just a casual gamer, you get the PSP.
Okay.
But if you want something, if you like games, I think the DS has better games, more creative games, more unconventional games.
Yeah, they've been getting there because, I mean, a lot of the games at first were just gimmicks.
But now, I mean, who would have thought Nintendo was actually a good game?
Oh, please tell me about it. I know. And Electroplankton is so addictive.
Electroplankton.
You know, it's not even a game, man.
Medios.
Yeah. And Mario Kart DS,
Kirby Canvas Course, which basically the controller is the stylus.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just a
they do a very decent job with it, and I mean I'm glad to see Nintendo
game
coming
wise, game wise, I think it looks good. I mean, if you like sports games or like racing games, you're screwed. Don't get
well,
the DS.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, get yourself a PSP because after some time, PSP will actually get out there as what it's supposed to be.
PSP was supposed to be a multimedia type thing. It wasn't supposed to be just a gaming thing. I think you get something different. I think this is the first time where it's like, you know what, you get a bang for your buck either way. It's something for everybody.
Yeah, true. All right, cool. Well, you know, stick around. I'm going to do a wind up right now and do myself a sports rant, and you can put in your football picks for the Super Bowl after that, all right?
Great.
That works. All right, here we go. It's wind-up time here on GeekSpeak, where I switch from the geek side of things to the sports side of things, and I gotta talk about my man Kobe Bryant. Not usually my man, but I gotta give him a lot of support after that 81-point blowout. Now, to me, this is almost better than the 100 points back in the day. I mean, this day and age, it's almost impossible to get 81 points with the defense as good as it is, and with shooters just not being the same anymore. The game has changed. And Kobe Bryant, not only was he getting the outside shots, he was getting the inside shots. He was getting everything to fall that night. And I badmouthed him when he didn't go for 70 points just a couple of weeks ago. And now here I am eating crow because he was able to do it again. I mean, who would have thought a guy like Kobe Bryant comes out there with 81 points? It's a magic, magic move. Almost more magic than Magic Johnson. That's how good it is. And that makes sense because he's a Laker. But you got to ask yourself, is Kobe Bryant ever going to win another championship? Even though he is a great player, he does not have those parts surrounding him like he should. Without Shaq, he might have very well blown any chance of another shot at the finals. Because without a big man, even if you have a scorer, you're just screwed. It's as simple as that. Now, when it comes to football, we got the big game coming up that is going to be the Seattle Seahawks versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, both of which nobody picked at the beginning of the year, and now here they are, proving once again how convoluted football can be and how outstanding it can be at the same time. And I'm going to pick Seattle. I'm going to pick Seattle in this because I picked them at the beginning of the playoffs to make it as far as they did. So I got to stick with them now. So I'm going to go with Seattle. Brian, what do you got?
I don't know. I gotta say Pittsburgh because I'm not sure about Seattle's defense.
Yeah,
I really don't know about Seattle's defense.
Pittsburgh does have the defense; that much is a given. But I mean, I don't know. It could go either way. It really could. I mean, at this point, nobody thought that at this point Indianapolis wouldn't be there, except for me because I picked it. But
Who knows? But about the Kobe thing, he scored 81 points during the championship week.
Yeah,
in the conference. I mean, that's.
That's great.
That's probably the only way you could overshadow those two games.
Well, tell me about it. And that absolutely did overshadow it. It overshadowed the Colts losing.
The Colts losing, the Broncos losing, and the Seahawks. I mean, it overshadowed the conference championships. I mean,
it's amazing.
Who would have thought?
It's absolutely amazing. Nobody thought it would get to this point. And now here's Kobe Bryant proving everybody that he might very well be on the level of Michael Jordan. But again, Michael Jordan had those extra parts, which is why he was able to win as many championships as he did. Do you think he'll ever be able to win a championship?
Well, Kobe had the extra parts. I think that, I don't know. I mean, it depends. Who knows?
It's so hard to pick, you know? I mean, it really is. But I think that there are a lot of great teams out there, and I think better teams than the Lakers.
Let me just say this. If there's one person that could take a team on his back and carry them to a championship, it's probably Kobe Bryant. He's probably
true.
I mean,
true. Well, I mean, Shaq has proven that he could do it in the past, but that team in Miami isn't nearly as good as any of the teams he used to deal with. So,
no.
All right. Well, there's the windup. Now, here's the pitch. Starting this Monday, actually, we're back, finally, from 3 to 4 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. You can hear me, Ian Levinstein, along with Jason Green, Joey Maggs, David, and the ghost of Michael Hornstein on the Sporting Goods. And I think that's pretty much going to cover it for this Geek Speak. You can reach me at speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's SPEAKGEEKSPEAK at gmail.com. Send all your emails that way. We got forums over at speakgeekspeak.com/forums, FORUMS, forums, not forum. And of course, almost a new month over at Podcast Alley. We got a couple more weeks left. So vote for me on Podcast Alley. That'd be really, really nice. Thanks for joining me, Brian.
You're welcome.
You might be hearing his voice more in the future now that he's got some time off. But until next week, I am Ian Levinstein. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. I will see you next Thursday. Don't make it more vulnerable, or even vulnerable. Lana Taylor of I Read Comics, also of the Look at Your Butt podcast, Look at My Butt podcast, I believe it is. Double check that. And actually, Lena, to serve all my ways and vignettes. That, yeah, I got that terribly wrong. Promotion model on it. Out on those floor. Yeah. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio, 1090 AM, and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.